taken from Psalms 119, 105 to 112. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Relieve me, O Lord, according to your word. Except I pray the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand. Yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end.
Good evening. It's good to see each and every one of you out this evening. So glad that you could attend with us. If you're a visitor, we're very grateful that you're here, and we hope that you'll get a chance to stick around afterwards so we can get to know you. I am 39 years old this past September. And I know some of you are thinking, wow, that's really old, but I would have pegged you at late 40s. Some of the younger guys are probably wondering, thinking to themselves, man, I hope I still have hair by the time I'm 39. Some of you are young enough to still wonder off in the distant future what 40 will be like. And some of you are probably looking back and thinking what it was like to be when you were 39. And still others are probably looking at me going, ah, you're still young, you got plenty of time. But I'm getting older. I can tell that my body feels different than it used to be. Relief from sickness and soreness take a little bit longer. Energy is a bit rarer than it used to be. And I think I can tell this most personally in my sleep. I love a good night's sleep. When I was in college, I worked for UPS. And UPS was a good job. They would had really, really good benefits. They would help you pay for school the day you started working there. Problem is, I had to be there at 3 a.m., and I lived about 40 minutes away. So I gained a very profound affection for a good night's sleep. The feeling of waking fully rested is like none other. It is truly a gift. And as I age, I can tell that sleep is less restful, and it's harder to come by. Instead of occasionally having a bad night's sleep, it feels like I occasionally have a good night's sleep. And I look at my daughter, Serafina, and I remember when Jade was younger, and I covet that ability to sleep soundly through nearly anything that is going on around them. Look at them, and I think there's very few things in their mind that are wrestling for their attention and keeping them up at night. I think this is most eloquently stated by the writer of Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all of the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God that gave it. This discourse on getting older is not meant to depress. But I do think the aging process offers a parable for everyone, young or old, spiritual or not, Because if you would have asked me when I was younger how important it was to get a good night's sleep or how important it was to have a healthy sleep regimen, I wouldn't have had a lot to say. But now I'd go back and I'd tell my younger self how important it was. When I was young, sleep was a given. As time takes it away, I wish that I would have maintained it, maintained and preserved it. And tonight I want to talk to you about your connection with God, your relationship with God, specifically honing in on His Word, the Bible, the book or the screen that you have in front of you right now. We are literally thousands of years away from the life and the event that serve as the core foundation for our belief system. Over 2,000 years ago. And yet what we have now is simply a written record. We have a small collection of letters and books and poetry. I'm ashamed to say that sometimes when I look at the words on the page or the screen in front of me, those words can take on a bit of monotony. And so tonight I want to talk to you about the Bible being our connection to God, how we can maintain that connection, and then we'll just touch very briefly on why we should share that connection. The Bible, the Word, is our connection to God. And I want to step back for just a moment and take a look at what John said in the first chapter in talking about Jesus and Jesus being the Word. Let's look at John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You ever thought about why John calls Jesus the Word? Step back for just a moment and think about that term. What is a word? Words are coming out of my mouth right now, and we kind of put them together, and they form this structure, and they convey a meaning, right? They adopt this meaning. Words sit at the very core of communication. They're the building blocks of communication. And communication sits at the very core of pretty much everything that we are. God made us to be social creatures. Animals communicate. Humans communicate. Communication is inherent and prolific throughout God's design. He made us social. And because of that, we can't exist without communication. Look a little bit further into what God's Word was able to accomplish here, even in John 1. God expressed His innermost design, His innermost intentions and His thoughts, and He created everything that we know and perceive and understand. I think that what John is saying here is that Jesus was God's innermost expression and innermost intent and innermost desires come to life. It was representative of everything that God wanted us to know in the flesh coming to earth. I think this idea is emphasized in Hebrews, the first chapter. As the writer in chapter 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What I mean to say here is that before we can begin to talk about a connection with God and maintaining our connection to God, I want you to gain an appreciation for what it is you hold in your hands right now. What those words on the screen or the paper in front of you actually represent, it is literally the Word of God. If Jesus was God's essence come to this earth, then the Bible is our copy of that. The Bible is a record of everything that God has done and everything that God has said, everything that Jesus has done and taught and did, his examples and his life. It's the absolute essence and soul of the entity that created us. It describes exactly what he wants us to know. It expresses his innermost thoughts about his creation, us, and how we are to obtain salvation. But not only that, it's not just about direction. The word also describes his character. It shows his emotion. It shows his happiness and joy when his children obey and fulfill his plan. It shows his anger and his jealousy when they choose to betray that and turn their backs on him. That is what you have in your hands right now. What you're holding is the mind of God. And because of that, the word connects us with how God wants us to live. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If there is anything good in this life, sometimes it seems like it's hard to find. If there is anything good, it can be traced back to the Word of God. Because the Word is the mind of God, it is also powerful. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, starting in verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." The word is powerful because it is the ultimate source of truth, because it comes directly from the mind of God, and as we study it, it becomes our conscience, and it measures our actions against that perfect standard. The Word of God has the power to see our innermost qualities and our hidden agendas. It's described as a weapon that can do things that other weapons can't. It can go places and cut things that aren't normally supposed to be cut. It can look at you. And I know that we try to hide so many aspects of our lives, but it can look directly into you and see exactly the kind of person that you are. And it can say, "I know this part about you. It's not godly, and it's not good, and it should be removed from your life." Those things that we try to hide so much. It can look inside you and see that you are a compassionate person, even though you may not have opportunity all the time to display it. But it takes a look at your thoughts and your intents and says, "These are godly. Continue to grow those, display those, cultivate those things." It's so important today as our society becomes increasingly addicted to the outward appearance. And I know that's often the way that man works. But the truth is, the Word of God sees the inside. Things that you may not want to look at. Things that you certainly don't want others to see. The Word of God is capable of exposing that. Because of this, we need to maintain our connection with the Word of God. Appreciate the reading tonight. You know, in Psalm 119, there's a very familiar verse about the Word of God being a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We sing a song about it. And you think about these analogies. It's like, well, go into a closet where there's no windows, or many times maybe you've gone on a trip to visit caves, and they kind of shut all the lights off, and everything is just absolute pure darkness. And you think about how much light that one candle or that one flashlight provides. And I was thinking about that, and to my shame, I think sometimes I treat the Word like a flashlight today. Think about the flashlight that you have in your home. Sometimes you got to hang in your garage. Mine's in my junk drawer, right? And you know, the power goes out, and I run. I know where it is. It's in the junk drawer. I'm going to go get it, grab it. Oh, yes, got my flashlight, turn it on. I get about 5 seconds of dim light because I've never put any good batteries in it or anything like that. But I put it away because I feel like I don't need it. We come in to any room now, and all it takes is this. I just flip on a switch, and I have light. Sometimes you don't even need that. You just walk in, and the motion sensors kick in and turn on the light for you. And so I think sometimes I treat the Bible like I feel like I don't need it anymore. And it's great to have in those emergencies. It's great when I can't see, right? And I pull it out, and it works really well when I really need to see. But let's put it in a little bit more perspective. How many of you here wear glasses or contacts? A lot of hands going up, right? What happens when you lose your glasses? What happens when you tear a contact? I'll tell you, I've had to call Jen several times away from what she's doing to bring contacts to my work because my world turns upside down when I don't have a contact. I can't do anything. I can't function. I can't work. And that's what the Bible is supposed to be to us. It is meant to help us see things clearly. I think another problem is that I treat the word like it needs to fit into my schedule. And I think, unfortunately, that's a gross compartmentalization of the very thing that gives me my schedule. Let's look at Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of heaven above the earth. The word of God is not to be fit in somewhere. Is the reason for my schedule. And I'll clue you into a little secret. When you're not usually up here, you know, you really lament over what you're going to say and what kind of lesson you're going to preach. You think about your audience and things like that. This one is for me. You know, and I looked at a lot of these things so that I could grow my relationship with the Word of God. And the Word of God is not to be fit in. It is the reason that you have a schedule, that you're here, that you're able to work, that you're able to spend time with your family. I have another illustration for you. How many of you like leftovers? And I guess it really does depend on the meal, right? Because some things reheat really well. I can go, you know, a couple of meals with leftovers. If it's lunch, I can go maybe even a week, you know. And then I am ready to move on. I need something different. I need a little bit of variety. What if your survival depended on eating leftovers? Not just leftovers, but what if your survival came down to you get one thing, just one. One thing, and that's all you have to eat. And that actually happened in the Old Testament to the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness. Think about how they complained. Oh, we eat this manna all the time in Numbers chapter 11. When are we going to have some meat? Remember when we used to be slaves and we had melons and leeks and meat and things like that. God knows that we tire of monotony. He understands that. But he calls us to overcome the natural man, to become spiritual men. And that's why we need to keep asking and seeking and knocking. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. In Hebrews 5 and 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Maintaining our connection to the Word of God is a process, and it takes work. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 9, 24. And this is Paul. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Maintaining your connection to the Word takes self-control. And self-control is difficult. You have to bring your body into subjection. You have to overcome the natural man and the laziness of the natural man. Finally, I just want to briefly touch on, once we understand what we hold in our hands and we work to mature that connection and maintain that connection, we need to make sure that we are sharing our connection. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Think about this just for a moment. The people that are in this room right now, and the people that are worshiping God elsewhere, we are the ones that are chosen to represent God's word to the rest of the world. It's not the rulers. It's not the president. It's not famous people. It's not the media. It's people in this room. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These qualities are the absolute greatest thing that this world will know. And it's the people in this room that have been chosen to display and to cultivate those qualities. You think about being the light of the world, it is a huge responsibility. And certainly we cannot overlook the fact that Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. In conclusion, understand that the Word, the Bible, is our connection to God. If you recall, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he quoted the Old Testament and responded to the devil and said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That's how man is to live. That is our connection to God, through the Word. We must learn to maintain that connection. Remember the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2. They were doing the right thing, but there was something about that connection that they were missing, and they were admonished for it. They didn't work to maintain their connection to the Word of God. We must remember that as we grow and mature that connection, we must always be willing to share it, because we are the light of the world. I'd like to end tonight with a quote that many of you may already know. If you've not read the book, Mere Christianity, by C.S. Lewis, I highly recommend it. It's a very practical view on what Christianity is. God made us, invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. So don't just treat the Bible like a book. It is Jesus incarnate. It is the Spirit among us. It is God's expression and his mind for us. If you're with us tonight and you're not a Christian, connecting to the Word, understanding it, requires that you follow what you find within it. And what is within it is to be baptized for the remission of your sins so that you can become a child of God. If you've done that, it happens that we lose our connection to the Word. And we start needing milk, and we start starving because we're not feeding on the Spirit. If you want us to help, that's why we're here. You can come forward tonight and ask for the prayers of the saints, and we can help rebuild that connection to the Word of God. If you have any need, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing.
Are you a soul that's sinking? Rest from the burden you bear.